Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Actually, you know what? A very warm welcome back to Life's a Beach, a podcast birthed out of my pandemic ponderings, turned into a place where I like to bring you the real, raw, and honest truth about what life as a collegiate athlete is really like. Or should I say, was like, since I'm all old and a retired ex-athlete now. Today, I'm very excited to bring you something I've been sitting on for like a couple months now, honestly. Things that I've sort of been reflecting on since my athletic career came to a close in May. And that's what no one told me about collegiate athletics that I really wish they would have. You guys, hi! I have missed the crap out of you, and I'm so happy to be back behind the mic. Yay. The last few months, you know, they've been a change, to put it very lightly. I've been done with college athletics for almost 4 months now. How? What? Time. Time is not real, it's a construct. But I guess I should really say that I've been done being an athlete for 4 months. And honestly, how's it been going? Not good. Not good at all. Like, not really not good. I've been struggling with one of the worst bouts of depression I have ever had in my entire life. I think it's pretty common, honestly, for athletes to feel like their entire life is different once they finish playing their sport, right? Am I right here? I think athletes are helping a lot by being more and more open about the hardships of leaving sport. I've seen that recently sort of happening a lot more. People are being like, man, I'm done with sports. What the hell am I doing now? You know, like, I feel like I see that way more than you used to like 5-6 years ago when I was first coming into sports. And I really feel like that's cultivated a unified feeling just that you're not crazy for feeling like your life is turned upside down and everything is different once your time as an athlete is done. And I can relate so hard to all these sentiments, because I've been feeling like that to like the max for the last few months. It really felt like I finished my collegiate athletic career, I graduated for the second time, and then I woke up and everything in my life was different. And that's not me being like, I finished my sport, now everything's different. It's like, no, literally, like, I'll explain. Everything in my life was suddenly different. Number one, the comfort of waking up and having the same goal I've had since I was 10, to be the best volleyball player I could be, and then for the last 5 years to achieve and meet all my goals I had set for myself as a freshman coming on my collegiate athletic volleyball journey, it was suddenly irrelevant. I'm not a volleyball player anymore. And then on top of that, to kind of further strip away that athletic identity, I had to get a knee operation done right after the season because I had a tear in my patella all season. And because of that, I haven't been able to push myself in the gym and work out and get the serotonin boost I usually can from kind of testing myself physically. You know how athletes like to do. We're not very good at just sitting around and doing nothing. So there's this running joke I've seen all over the internet, which I think is the funniest thing ever, that it's like people, ex-athletes, are supposed to be like, hey, ex-athletes, how's your weightlifting program going? Like, yeah, every post-grad athlete weightlifts because it's in our blood for 5 years. We were actually forced to do it, so it gets integrated. Anyway, on top of that, the school program I was in shifted quarters, which is like not that deep, but it was just really deep because everything was changing. And I started a whole bunch of new classes that I wasn't very comfortable or familiar with, which I didn't love. Then I had to pack up my boyfriend his whole life from Stanford, from living 23 minutes away from him. Had to drive him across the country. So now he is in Ohio. So now he is a cool 6-hour plane ride away. So that's it's a lot better than a 20-minute drive, but it's fine. We're fine. Everything's fine. And then it was even on top of all that, like you go, you know the transition in the summer, and usually it's not that bad because you're like, oh, I'll be back next year. Like, I'll see all my teammates. Like, oh, I'm going to miss you guys, but I'll see you soon. But it's like when you're a senior, it's like, yeah, maybe you'll see him again. Like, I don't know. Everyone goes home for the summer and then you don't really know what you're doing with your life. Like, maybe you're sticking around, maybe you're not. And, you know, I went from seeing my teammates who had really started to feel like family for 4 hours every day and then hardly see them because everyone had to go home. And then my parents, who were coming up every weekend to watch me play, were back at home themselves, and I just hadn't seen them in way longer than I would have liked. And then all of a sudden, I was wearing an adult hat and been working two part-time jobs, because there's this thing called rent. You guys, there's this thing called rent, and it's atrocious in California. Don't live in California. The rent is ridiculous. I say as I probably will never move out of California. That's beside the point. The point is, everything was suddenly very, very different. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm not proud to admit it because it bugs me that I'm like this, but I'm horrible with change. I really am. I love stability. I haven't had a lot of long-term stability in my life, so it's kind of something that I really crave. So change is super scary for me, and I'm just not good with it. Absolutely horrific, actually. So to say this has had a little bit of a detriment on my mental health would be a pretty low-key way of putting that. But in these moments of change and loneliness, I've had a lot of time to think, and really to think about the life that I want to create, because I feel like for the first time in my life, the power is in my hands. Like, you know, does anyone else relate to this when you're coming out of college and you're like, okay, all of this has been lined out for me. So-and-so, like a coach has told me to be here at this time. I have class at this time, whatever. You don't really have a lot of control over that besides maybe picking your classes, but half the time they're requirements, right? When you're done, you start to realize, I can pick what I want to do now. Like, I can go pick that job that I want to do. I can go spend money on this item that makes me happy for no reason, because it's the money I'm making, right? So really feeling like this shift there, I'm like, wow, I truly do control a lot of my own destiny here. And I think through this thinking and pondering is kind of at the root of it, is piecing together what I've learned and how I've been shaped by an experience that was both the most rewarding gift of my life and the hardest thing I've ever done. And that experience is, as you might have guessed it, college athletics. And I'm gonna be super candid. Thinking back on my experience has led to a lot of pent-up anger. I know people get scared of the A word, anger. Oh no, she must be a female dog. Keeping it PC. But I don't know. I've been thinking about certain situations. I'll feel anger for people, anger for situations, a lot of anger for the college athletic system as a whole and what I've seen it do to other people and how I felt that impact, and a lot there. But, you know, I've also been working through that anger in responsible ways. I don't just get an emotion and label that as society says that's a bad emotion, let's shove it in the back corner. No, I always want it to let it have its place, let it have its time so we can pass through it and work through it maturely. And it's kind of through this process, through this anger, which actually can really be a beautiful emotion when we repurpose it correctly, that shows us just what we need to see about ourselves, that it's really just an intensified form of passion. And, you know, it makes sense to hold a lot of passion for experiences that have shaped your entire life for 5 years straight. And it's been through sorting out the differences between what are these passions and what are these angers that I've really found some integral parts of what I've learned during my time as being a collegiate athlete. And that's what I want to share with you today. 5. That's right. Just 5. I'm really trying to be less wordy on these things because I really want people to listen to the whole thing. And I have this case of rambleitis. So I'm only giving you 5 today. I have a lot more. 5 of the biggest takeaways I have from being a collegiate athlete. Not just as a collegiate athlete who had fun and did the thing, but one who suffered and hurt and is still deeply hurting from the experience, honestly. But you'll see why this is all completely natural. And this roller coaster is one that you want to ride. I got a lot of advice before and during my first year of college athletics. A lot of really great advice. And also some not so great that is not at all relevant to me. But I'll be honest with you, because, you know, it's kind of my MO. None of it could have prepared me for the actual thing. Not the good advice, not the bad advice, nothing. Not even close. So that's why I've collected 5 pieces of advice I'm convinced you won't hear from other people. Advice you're not going to hear from coaches who want you to come to their school, or friends who have been scared shitless by the system of college athletics and don't feel safe in speaking their truth. These are the things that no one told me, but I really wish I would have known. Number 1, people will always find something to complain about. Guaranteed, always. When you're in a setting of college athletics, for example, I feel like that's a pretty relevant example to the situation. You catch my drift? Yeah, I think you do. When you're in that setting, shit is hard. Shit is so hard. You are so exhausted. You've been doing the same day over and over again for months on end. You are living in Groundhog Day. It's exhausting. You're going to complain, right? And then your teammates are going to complain. And there's going to be this circle of complaining. You're always going to find something to complain about. There's always something to complain about, right? The lift is so hard. I'm so sore all the time. I'm not getting enough playing time. The coach hates me. The weather sucks. The dining hall food makes me want to poop my pants every night. Right? Okay, there's always something to complain about. I think I've heard every possible complaint about the college experience in my 5 years that I've been in it. But I can't remember who complained about what, right? Like, I don't know. I've heard so much that it's like, it's just this giant mosh of complaints in my brain when I think about all the things that people have said that they don't like about college or college athletics. I think you're always going to find someone who's going to complain about something. Be different and be someone who always finds something to be grateful about the experience you're in for. And you're going to be a lot better off. People remember those people that hold gratitude so close to their heart. People remember those people that are sitting around at a team dinner and everything sucks and all they're talking about is how miserable they are and how much they can't stand the situation or the weather or their professor or the coaches today. You're not going to remember those people. You're going to remember the person, Sally Sue, sitting next to you who went, yeah, I mean, it was hard, but how lucky are we to get to be doing this? How many people would kill to be in our position right now? How excited are you for the weather tomorrow? Right? You remember the people that left you feeling a little bit brighter. So I dare you to be different. Don't try and fit in and complain about everything. It shouldn't feel natural. It's not natural. It doesn't make you cooler. It doesn't find you more friends. It just makes you inauthentic. Be grateful for every moment. Number two, show people grace. You never know what they're going through, and your kindness might just let them see another day. I think the concept of what giving grace is was a super hard one for me to grasp, and not one I understood until this year when I saw it defined as giving someone an undeserved kindness. And that's when I was kind of like, oh, damn, okay, this grace stuff is kind of pretty sick. Like, yeah, this is the good stuff right here. Just thinking about, like, on my experience, how when I'm in, like, my lowest points, like, took everything for me to get out of bed, can't seem to plaster a smile on my face. It's someone giving me kindness that I don't deserve. I don't know them. How do they know me? They're just giving me an act of kindness. And it's let me see another day, pushed me through to finish that day and to get into bed that night and go, you know, today wasn't all bad. And I hold on to that one moment where, you know, that person, they gave me a genuine smile on my walk to class. Today wasn't all bad. The barista today at Pete's Coffee, she gave me a free coffee. Man, why'd she do that? I have no reason for her to do that for me, but she did it. There will be more of those in your life. So show that grace to other people. Don't let your life circumstances and how down and out you are prevent you from giving someone else grace, right? Don't take your hardship out on someone else because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know how you putting your bad energy on them is going to affect them later. Change your mindset and think, how can I give them an undeserved kindness? Even if you can't see the result of what happens from that kindness, you can go to bed thinking, you know what? Today wasn't all bad. I gave someone a little bit of my grace and I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Number three, one you're not going to like, one that any college athlete, you know, it might make them want to turn the episode off after this. And if I was listening to this my freshman year, I'd be like, she doesn't know shit. And here it is. You're going to lose a lot, like a lot. You're going to lose games. Mm-hmm. That's right. You're going to lose games. You're not perfect. And also, guess what? You may not be the best. Probably likely you won't be the best. You'll understand. If you're in the collegiate athlete system or you're going into it, wait until you see some of these people that play these sports, man. They were born to do that. And it's once you can get away from the egotistical of, that should be me. I want to be that. Why can't I have that? And you can sit back and admire that, you know, I'm probably never going to be that. So why don't I just sit back and go, damn, that's really good. That's really good. Maybe I can pick up some of the, some very small aspects from what they have, right? So yeah, you're going to lose to people like that. You're going to lose friends. You will. You will probably lose at least one friend. If you don't, oh my gosh, what are you having? Can I have some? And it's going to hurt like hell. Man, it's going to hurt so bad. I did not. One thing that no one ever warned me about was how much losing people hurts you in your life. Nobody wants to tell you that about college, right? They want to tell you, you're going to go and meet your best friends and your bridesmaids and the love of your life, yada, yada. You're going to meet all these great people, join all these clubs, blah, blah, blah. No one will sit you down and go, man, you're going to lose. You're going to lose so much. You might not be able to recognize yourself in the mirror some days from the impact of all the loss that you've had on you. But guess what? It's through these losses that you really, truly learn who you are. And you know what you get from a win? Instant gratification. And you know that winning feels good. But when you lose, you learn how to work through hurt and you learn how to become a better version of yourself. So yes, you will lose. It's not the end of the world. It's actually just the beginning. Number four, you will never regret choosing people. Okay, stick with me here. People will hurt you. That is life, okay? That is life. You can't let your heart close up because people hurt you. It's a huge issue I've had in the past where people hurt me. I don't like getting hurt. It terrifies me. I close my heart up. And because I close my heart up, I can't give people kindness. I can't give people the amazing love I know I have to give. I certainly can't give them grace they deserve or don't deserve. Refer to, I winked, you couldn't see it. That's, I'm not realizing. This is the woes of podcasting. I do these facial expressions. You have no idea. Anyway, you're not going to regret choosing people. Yeah, they're going to hurt you and you're going to be confused and you're going to sit for a while in the hurt and wonder, why the hell did I even do that, right? But there's going to come a moment where you move past that and you realize, man, I'm glad I chose that person. I'm glad I chose to stay for that person. I'm glad I did this for that person because I know they really needed that. And when I did that moment, man, that was the best version of myself. You will regret being selfish. You will regret making choices for yourself that in turn almost always hurt other people. The sooner you can learn this, the sooner you will grow and realize that people will hurt you, and that's okay. That's life. But you're never going to regret choosing people. And number five, my last little golden nugget for you, is that I truly don't believe you learn until you experience. And I'm very open to the idea that this is not like this for everyone, and some people can literally just hear one thing once and they learn it and that's it. Like, this could very much be a me thing. But here's the thing. I can hear people tell me these amazing lessons all day long. And I hear them. Like, I really do. I'm not trying to be an asshole and tune them out and be like, no, you're stupid. I don't want to hear your advice. My way or the highway. Meh. One of my favorite virtues in myself I've had since I was a kid is that I'm extremely coachable. And I really do think that that translates to all facets of my life. So I want to learn. I want to get these amazing lessons and experiences that people are giving to me. I want them to immediately impact me and make my life better. But I find I just don't learn that way, like at all. I learn by doing it wrong over and over and over again until I finally decide to do it right or it happens right by chance. And then all of a sudden, I'm hit with this total moment of clarity about how right they were all along. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they were right all along, just like they said they would be. Why am I acting surprised right now? I had this happen with volleyball this year with something my dad has been saying rather bluntly. Oh, yeah. That's a nice way of putting it. On this particular piece of my game for, like, since I started playing it, and how, from his outside perspective, he's seen it should be played slash it works. And I always heard him. I wanted it to be true for me in my game because his logic made perfect sense, but I could never find a way for it to work for me in my game. And it wasn't until this year when I did it by accident in a game, I ran up to him after and I shook him and I was like, "Dad, I get it." And he was like, "Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. I've been telling you since you were 10. Congratulations." The same thing has happened with the sage wisdom I've been given throughout my college years. I've heard so much good advice. Sometimes I honestly wish I could just dump all the contents out of my brain into some sort of machine that could filter through and piece together all the good ones. Does anyone else feel like this? Please, somebody relate to me. I'm sure there's AI out there that could do it. If there is, don't tell me. I actually don't want it. That'll freak me out. But what I do know is at the end of the day, it wouldn't really matter. It wouldn't really matter if I saw every amazing piece of advice ever given to me laid out on a silver platter in front of me. Unless, and this is what I found for myself, and I've actually talked about it with a few people, so I do know it's not just me, which is why I'm sharing the information. Unless I experience the advice in my own life, I'll never learn it. And I'm very specifically ending with this lesson. Because I know I just said a lot of things that you may feel like you need to make applicable to your life right this very second. That this unfiltered advice is one you need to heed because it comes very far and few between. But I want you to know that if it takes you failing over and over again to learn it, you're winning. If you don't get it until your third to last game of your senior year to understand it, you're winning. Thanks, Dad. If none of this makes sense until you've gone through hell and back to understand it, you are winning, my friend. I wanted to give you some of my most prominent takeaways I have from my time in college so that if you ever come across it, you know you aren't fighting it alone. Others have fought these battles before you, and you can come out on the other side. And guess what? You will make it out on the other side. Some days, you may feel like you never will, and that's really okay too. I know I've had my fair share of those days, and I still do. But when you do realize you made it, you'll realize you're truly winning in this amazing life. And that's what I wish they would have told me. There's no win sweeter than that. So I lied to you. There were 6 pieces of advice. Did you get it? Did you catch that little last little sweet tidbit thrown at the end, that number 6? Yeah, I know. I'm cute like that. What can I say? But really, honestly, I hope you were able to latch on to something that I said in this. If you feel like you really relate to something that I said, or you're going through something, or you know someone that is, reach out to them, reach out to me, share this with them. You never know if there is something they really need to hear in it. So don't be afraid to pass this along. If you ever need any more advice, like I said, that was a very, very small tidbit of what I've learned. I've learned a heck of a lot more. I'm just trying not to talk your ear off today. Maybe I'll make another part 2 of this and you can hear more. But my point is that you know where to contact me. I'm always happy to help. My door is open. Don't ever feel like you're alone because you're not. And thank you guys so much for listening. If you need anything or more advice, you know how to find me. I love you. Really mean it.